Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Yesterday was the halfway point of the feast, right? So I was reading in John 7 and I shared it with someone. That would have been the day when Yahshua got up to teach during the feast. And a lot of people read right over that in John chapter 7. But listening to the selections, and normally when I give a talk first, Ryan comes up after me. And I always like to go second, but I go first. And then Gary had to fill in for Brother Harold. And he asked me, what are you going to talk about? And we never share topics. But he told me a little bit about what he was going to talk about. And I said, man, all the songs are pointing right to what he's going to say. So that's good. And then yesterday, I was looking over this material, and I'll sometimes type in the title of the message, see what comes up. Well, I was going to change the title because the title that I have, there are some that celebrate when Abraham was going to offer up Isaac. And I thought that was kind of weird, but I said, you know what, let's leave it like this. Because Abba has a point that he wants to make, and I think Deacon Steve already talked about it. Anyway, Feast of Sacrifice, does serving cost you something? Well, just ask Elder Allen or ask Elder Randy. Does serving cost you something? Maybe not financially, but it takes time out of your schedule when you could be doing something else. And I imagine many times when we have things that to us, it might be silly, but we want guidance, we want counseling, and we go to them. And you could just imagine all the people that went to Yahshua with all the things, the problems they had, you know. So all these things take time. Well, the first scripture that I could come up with, and I only have one slide, so you're going to have to go ahead and do some work. So hopefully you got your scriptures. You probably know a lot of these by heart. I picked 1 Samuel 15:22. You should know this one by heart. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. And this is what Samuel told King Saul. He basically told him, in a nutshell, to obey is better than sacrifice. And why did he tell him this? Well, King Saul, he lost his patience. He got scared. He disobeyed Yahweh. And this is a lesson for us. King Saul was going to go to war. He was scared his men were going to leave him. So he took it upon himself to offer up the sacrifice that wasn't his job to do. Sometimes we do that. We try to get ahead of Yahweh. We try to get ahead of his timetable when he wants us to keep the feast. So to me, that's a lesson. And to obey is better than sacrifice. Well, you know, I could come and give Yahweh all the money that I have, but I could still be doing that in disobedience, and he's going to say, you wasted your time. Think about Abel and Cain. They both gave a sacrifice, but Yahweh says that he hated Esau's sacrifice because it wasn't the right sacrifice. You see? Abel knew what he was doing. He gave him the best, but he did it with the right intention. You see? A lot of times we could say, well, I tried, I did my best, but maybe it was the intention that was wrong. There's a lot of people out there, they got good intentions, right? I mean, we might criticize certain things, and we can't get on people. Some of them, they'll say, well, see, like today, you're worshiping on the first day of the week. Yeah, but see, this was already commanded in a 7-day feast. So there's the difference. There's the intention. And so this is a lesson for us. You know, sometimes, like King Saul, the first mistake Israel was to ask for a king. Then they got a king, and what happened? He failed them. So along comes David, and he had his mistakes. But David always had the right intention. We heard it twice in Psalm 23. He wasn't scared to die. He wasn't scared to face that big giant. Think about meeting somebody that's 13, 14, 15 feet tall, probably up to the ceiling up here. But not King David. He might have been small in stature, but he had a big heart. And he loved Yahweh above anything. So hallelujah. That's a lesson that we must learn. If you go over to Mark 10:45, Elder Randy, this is one of his favorite passages, except he uses the one from Matthew, so I picked the one from Mark. Mark 10:45, and to get a little bit of context there, two of the apostles, they wanted to sit at Yahshua's right and left hand in the kingdom. And Yahshua gave them the ultimate example of humility, the same thing he's given to us. Right? I don't even have it here, but I know it says that Yahshua, he came to serve, not to be served. He was the king of Israel, Nathanael told him. Yahshua not only told us this, but he put it into practice. Look to our neighbor's interests besides our own. Take it upon ourselves to sacrifice for our neighbor without someone telling us or asking us to do it. When you're in the hospitality business, one thing that they taught us was anticipate the needs of your customer. So those of us here that meet here every Sabbath, we are the internal customers of this faith. Those that come from afar, you're external, even though you're a part of the body, you're a part of the family. We have some families that are knit and some of them are separated. But in spirit, we're all one. We're all here. Every time we gather on Sabbath, every time we find out how many people are joining us online, that's a real blessing to us. So hallelujah. This is another lesson that Yahshua is teaching us. And a lot of us, we have this down packed. But like Paul told the Thessalonians, I know that you love one another, but do it more and more. Continue to do it. Don't forget about it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says that we must present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We all know what that means. We put all our wants and all our needs on the altar and we follow Yahweh. For some of us, serving requires a huge sacrifice. There's about four individuals here. And they really inspire me. Why? Because sometimes they can barely get up. They can't get up on their own. Elder Bob knows what I'm talking about. But they still came to the feast to worship Yahweh. What about us? We could walk. We stayed home. We didn't want to come to the feast. What does that do to other people that you try to witness to? When you're in the kingdom, when you're in front of the judge, why didn't you come to the feast? Why didn't you come to seek my face? I died for you. I gave everything. In Exodus 7:16, that's also found in another passage. Elder Allen touched on this a while back. This is, truth be told, is still happening today. Yahweh told Moses, go to this Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go that they might serve me in the wilderness. So that's why we came here, to serve Yahweh. But since Yahweh is invisible and we can't see him, then we look to our brothers and we see Yahshua Messiah in our brother and our sister and in the children too. Don't forget to entertain strangers, because sometimes we entertain messengers of Yahweh without even knowing it, because they look just like us. They talk just like us. They can even eat just like us. Right now, there's just one difference. But when Yahshua comes, you will be judging some of them. Hallelujah. So Yahweh is still telling a lot of us, go to your Pharaoh, to your boss, your temporary boss, and tell him, I got to go to the feast. I'm giving you a common courtesy by telling you. I could just get up and go, but this is common courtesy since you hired me so that I could get my sustenance, right? This is another example. We're still seeing it. Let my people go that they may serve me. A sacrifice must cost you and I something. Like it says, does serving cost you something? If it doesn't, then it's not really a sacrifice. Because it's easy for us. Like, for instance, if you make more than someone else, it's easy for you to give a certain amount to Yahweh. For the next person, it's not that easy. They got to take things into account. And so it is. We can look to our father Abraham. He was rich, but in certain instances, he says, I'm going to tithe to Melchizedek, but I don't want anything from this king over here. Just give the men that were with me, give them their portion. I don't want you to say that you made me rich. Sometimes we do that. We don't want things for free. We'd rather pay. I think it helps our conscience, and I think that's the way Yahweh wants it. So take our forefathers in Hebrews 11 as an example. How many great people are not even in that chapter? And how many great people in that chapter made some very foolish mistakes? But for us, they made the ultimate sacrifice so that we see that even with our faults, we put all our faith into Almighty Yahweh. He's going to deliver us. We could stumble. We could fall. We can get up here without having any talents. And you can still bless Deacon Steve. Right? And you know who gets the most out of that too? Brother Michael Bannock. That doesn't escape him. I still remember that brother. He got up there. He's saying, I stand amazed. Right? 2009 over there in Indiana. And his wife came up right after him and did the same thing. And for me, my joy, when I decided to make do a special, I just asked Sister Mill Mansager to come up there. And that was one of the best. Because she loved to sing. And if I can't sing, well, I'll bring somebody that loves to sing, right? And we'll both bless Yahweh. Everybody will be blessed. Hallelujah. I got a couple of more scriptures. Let's go to Acts 14:22. Because when you think about sacrifices, you think about hard work, right? All those parents out there that sacrifice for their children. I remember one brother, he has either 5 or 6 kids, and he plainly told the congregation, he says, I would never give any of my children for anyone. And that's just being honest. Yahweh gave us his best. Yahshua never failed Yahweh. And then us, I mean, we're greedy like that. Sometimes we want to hold back. But at least if we're honest, Abba sees that. You know, I might not like what you're saying, but at least you're being honest. That's the way it is with Yahweh's truth. Over in Acts, we'll go to 14:22. And I have one more after this because we have to know that this is not a cakewalk. Over there it reads, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Maybe your tribulation is that you have a hard time serving and sacrifice. I will admit right here in front of Yahweh and in front of everybody here, it's not always easy to show love to your neighbor when you had a hard time. Sometimes you don't know, well, what are this person's intentions? But you know, since coming here, you see the family atmosphere. The atmosphere here is family, unity. I remember Brother Landis Deck and Sister Millie Deck. They made you feel like you were part of their family. That's just how loving they were. That's who, that was their person. And then it extends to the rest of their family. So that makes you feel great, you know? So does Yahweh put up with a lot of foolishness? You ever ask yourself that question? Line it up. How much foolishness does Yahweh put up with when we fail him? When we stand here and tell him, oh, Yahweh, I'm going to obey you to my last breath. And then we don't follow through. Yahweh's mercy will only extend for so long. He is everlasting, but he only gives us a certain amount of time. And some are, I'll keep saying it, some are not granted repentance. That is sad. I always pray that Yahweh grant us repentance and that he continues to show us mercy so that we can grow in grace. One of the best ways in this feast, and a lot of times for us, you know, we're shy, we don't know anybody. Get in, get your hands dirty, rub elbows with somebody, even if you don't know them. Just like a couple days ago when Elder Randy said, let's get everybody up here when the children dismiss. Let's come on closer. There's plenty of seats right here. I mean, some of us, we want that front row because we want to hear what Yahweh is speaking to us. Is he speaking to you? I pray that he's speaking to all of us. If we're doing his will, we're keeping his commandments, we're listening to his voice, he's speaking to us. Let's go to our last scripture. I'll take Matthew 19 and 29. Because some of us, we work because we want to get paid, because we need finances, right? We're not in agriculture. If it was in agriculture, then we would want to get rain so that we can have our harvest and we can rejoice in Yahweh's blessing. So there's a reward Yahshua gave us. He's going to bring it with him. Matthew 19 and 29, Yahshua promises rewards for the faithful. I'll leave you with this one. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Who are we to inherit everlasting life? Our hard work and obedience will be recompensed. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, and thank you all for your time and your attention.